Voices of VR podcast. Hello, my name is Ken Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing my coverage from Venice Immersive 2025, today's episode is with a piece called If You See a Cat, which is a part of the immersive competition at Venice Immersive 2025. It's a VR animation piece, and so it's talking about mental health within the context of Japan. And so there's a lot of taboo around mental health within the context of Japan, and so there's a lot of transgressions of boundaries of what the creator says to be like this realm of human rights. And so there's all these potential human rights violations that are happening in the context of mental health. And so he wanted to address some of these different taboos within the context of the story. And so you end up seeing the perspective from the third person view of a cat because they didn't want to like necessarily make it so intense as for it to be a first person embodied experience for you to actually literally go through some of these different kind of restraining and, you know, all these people kind of just holding you down and whatnot. And so you kind of see it from the perspective of a cat, which is either like on the ground or up high, or it's just this non-normal perspective that you would normally watch a piece from. And so it's an animated piece. And so the context that it's going through is like mental health in Japan with various professional medical contexts and doctors. You have this feeling of exile and being taboo and not necessarily accepted. And so the main scenes are at a home. And then you're also at the context of Japanese neighborhoods, as well as within the context of a hospital. And the episode is triggered by the death of his cat. The center of gravity of this piece is very much emotional presence, the water element, where you're seeing this story-driven animation in CGI, and this sense of embodied environmental presence as the second center of gravity, the spatial way that the story is being told in terms of you're into these different worlds, you're taking from the perspective of the cat. So you have a little bit of embodiment, you're a bit of a ghostly character, but you still have a very situated perspective. You're also getting this distanced view from some of the dehumanization that's happening with the context of these Japanese medical establishments. And also these different spatial metaphors of illusion as it's kind of exploring different aspects of what's truth, what's illusion. Not a lot of agency or interactivity and not a lot of other mental puzzles, just kind of the dialogue that's happening within the course of how this story is being communicated. Some of the deeper themes are the fragility of mental health, the oppression from institutionalization, the transgression of boundaries and human rights, the violations of dignity, also withdrawing from society and feelings of exile and grieving from death, and then also starting to see various hallucinations. I think there's an overall sense of trying to empathize with these types of taboos against mental health within the context of Japan. And If You See a Cat refers to, it's trying to connect to these mundane realities of pets that we all have, these kind of universal experiences of death and the loss of pets, but also how mental health issues may ripple out and impact people that you may actually know. So that's the If You See a Cat, and that's what we're covering on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with the producer, Kenji, happened on Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025, at Venice Immersive in Venice, Italy. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
This is Kenji Ishimaru, producer of If I See a Cat. And my role is that I came up some idea about the mental hospital issue in Japan, and then I found out Wada-san, the director, to develop the idea of the stories and how we involve in the VR interaction or immersive advantage to the stories, something like this.
Yeah, and maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into this space.
Actually, I'm a CEO of the Kodansha VR Lab. And this company established in 2017 to find out the kind of best way to utilize the VR media into storytelling. And before the VR, Kodansha VR Lab, I was a producer at Polygon Pictures, which is one of the oldest CG production in Japan and almost all over the world. So, and then I produce more animation. As an animation producer, I made a TV series animation and also a film. Yeah, then I encounter with the producer of Kodansha. This is a huge publisher in Japan. Maybe everyone knows about Ghost in the Shell and Akira, they published it. And then they start thinking of the VR media is really, it's coming as a new media. So like they are trying to find out the best way, and then they want to make a company, and then like they ask me to be a president and a producer, and we kind of concentrating on the development of the VR storytelling, and like after we spend already 8 years for that.
Yeah, and watching your artist video for If You See a Cat, you're talking around the mental health situation and context in Japan, and maybe you could just give a bit more context for how this project came about for If You See a Cat.
Okay, maybe I need to explain about the Japanese like mental health issues, which is that like maybe my friend or my coworker got depression very easily at the office, and also like my friends' families also like some daughters or some son doesn't want to go to school, and so I really feel that like the mental sickness or mental problem happening everywhere around me, even like getting closer. And also like accidentally I listened some radio about the problem of the mental sickness and also mental treatment at the mental hospital. And maybe the doctor of the mental health is getting busier and busier, so they cannot spend enough time to see our patients. And also this is the biggest problem, is that like a doctor, the method is in a way depending on the giving pills to release the symptoms, not like actually like the patient feel better or not, like just like reducing the symptoms is very important thing for a doctor, because like reducing symptoms is one of the evidence of the getting money from the patients. So this is a Japanese system. So I didn't realize that system, and then like I really feel scared, because like sometimes I feel depressed and not like became a sickness, but almost there. So like okay, if I feel sick, and then like where should I go? That's like my inspiration or reason why I try to start making some stories.
And so at what point did you decide that virtual reality would be the best medium to tell this story? And maybe just describe a little bit about your introduction to virtual reality as a medium.
Okay, like first of all, like I initially simply thought that like experience the treatment, like just like seeing the treatment at the hospital in VR is really very strong experience, I think. But maybe if the player, VR player, became a patient and it's too strong. So, and also I interviewed many doctors and blah, 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 and like one very good sentence from them is that, like as they said, the symptoms of the mental health people, there is a reason to have that kind of symptoms, because like they are kind of demanding that symptoms to survive. For example, like if I see a cat, like the boy can see imaginary cats, and then like they talk each other and then play each other, so the boy seems like happy. And also the doctor said like the other patient, for example, like cutting some like his hands, or even imaginary like listening something like existed, is kind of trying to survive with this kind of symptoms. And doctor always try to kill the imaginary cat or symptoms, and they are not releasing, more like breaking their mind. So I think maybe like VR player should be closer to the patient, but not like equal, not becoming a patient, more like closer to the patient and then watching what's happening And then, like, me and director think that, like, okay, player should be imaginary cats, and then, like, the cats sometimes, like, encourage the patient, the boy, and sometimes, like, he is being trying to kill by the doctors or by the pills. Yeah, and then, like, experience what's happening. And in the end, the cat's killed. A cat being killed, and then, like, the player become a boy, and then this is the worst timing, like a worst point, and the boy's recovering starts at that moment with his mom. Yeah.
So in the artist statement video, you were talking about if you see a cat, like having the audience really thinking around that question as they're going through. And, you know, I had that same experience if I see a cat. And then as I'm watching it, I see that this cat may not actually be there for some of the different situations. Although in other situations, it does seem like the cat is there and that you're seeing the world from the perspective of that cat. And so we're not always sure what cats are real or not, but just wondering if you could comment on why did you have a lot of the piece from the perspective of a cat?
Okay. Basically, in the VR contents, we have three cats. And one is the boy's imaginary cats, and also there is a cat living in the parking lot, and the other one is house cats, like living with a baby. Like, there's three cats. And Wada-san, the director, insists that we need three cats because, like, imagine, like, patient's imaginary cat only is very unique experience, but it's more like not our story, just like individual, just like example patient story. But if, like, we can see the cat view for a baby or cat view from the parking lot, and then, like, this is a kind of the feeling of our life. And then, like, sometimes cats seeing a very happy baby or happy life, happy family, and sometimes the cats seeing usual student kids or student girls walking a street, but sometimes, like, the cat seeing a very serious situation of the boy. So it's happened to us, like, that kind of feeling the director wants to express with these three cats.
And sometimes we see the cats, and so I'm trying to remember from the piece, is the whole piece from the perspective of a cat, or are there other shots that are more third person or other shots that are more first person from the perspective of a human?
Actually, three cats and, like, a boy's view. When, like, imaginary cat killed, and then the player's view become a kid's view. So this, like, false views.
Okay, so the whole film is from the perspective of the cats, mostly, with the exception of the one boy.
Yes.
Okay, so then there's some scenes of the Japanese culture reacting to people who have mental health conditions and sometimes forcibly, like, tying them down. And so it gave me the sense that there's a lot of harsh reactions to people with mental health issues. Maybe you could just comment on
of, like, very special people, you mean?
Oh, I just remember a scene of someone who was getting tied down to a table.
Oh, yeah. The bed, right?
Yeah.
This is, actually, I asked two doctors and three nurses, and then, is this usually happening in the hospital? And they said, yes. So it's kind of very normal procedure when the people is, like, kind of hurt someone, or, like, not stop moving. Like, if they think the guy must be calmed down, like, maybe tied up and then put in some medicine or give him the shots. That happened. Like, from your perspective, is this really, really surprising, like, treatment for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess it's very likely that this could also be happening in the United States. It just, not having the full context of what happened before, I don't remember someone being violent, or maybe there was he violent before then he got tied down? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. And then like there is some movies like Jack Nicholson movie, very old one, also like tied it up. So
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah. It's like so many, not so many, but still many movie in Japan and also maybe movie for foreign movie is like also using that kind of scene. Mm.
And that's also from like the 1970s. So imagine that that was something that was happening in the past, but also could potentially be still happening. But yeah.
More like in that kind of movie, like doctor seriously spending time and thinking about how to recover from the sickness. But the current problem is that like a doctor doesn't have time. So just like 10 minutes to talk and then like, okay, seems something is not getting better or not, and then okay, changing a pill or increasing a number of the pills. So that's kind of like there's no human communication. That's the main problem, I think. So and then like getting shorter and shorter. The other problem is that management of the hospital is getting very difficult situation. The money things in Japan, so not so many, but increasing the number of the hospital bankrupt. So they need to recover from that kind of money issue, income issue. So like a more effective way and like a time effective is important. Maybe that's the kind of thing happening everywhere, I think.
And I got the impression of watching the piece that you've got perhaps multiple storylines that are cutting between each other. So it felt like a montage of these different scenes and from the perspective of these three cats and the one boy. And so just curious if there were three distinct storylines in this piece and if you could maybe refresh my memory or help recap the different stories that are being featured in this piece.
Basically, the main story is like not mental sickness, like the boy who can see imaginary cats. And maybe like a comparison with this bad situation, like there is a very happy family life. And also almost the same age girls going to the school and going back to the school. That's kind of like a usual life. So basically this is just a comparison, but also like as I said, maybe before, like this story is like, of course there is a usual life and there is a happy life, but still there is a very happy, like unlucky or not intentionally like treated as a really bad situation or like isolated from the society. So these three stories make it more like a problem appearing. Yeah. Something like this.
So trying to paint a picture of the larger problem through these three stories.
Right.
Yeah, so, and just curious to hear a little bit more around the art style that you chose. It's like a cartoon that's stylized, and yeah, just curious to hear around the design of the characters in order to tell the story.
Okay. Actually, when I kind of pop up this, I want to deal with a mental hospital story, and then like, I start finding a director or animation director. And I knew Wada-san before, like I did some content before at my ex-studio. And like his art style is really very good at express sort of mental sickness people. I checked his works and then there is some very beautiful drawing. But it looked like a patient of the mental hospitals. And his like art style is really unique and also slightly funny every time. And then like the animation, like human animation is like repeating same thing and like there's some animation, like the character animation is never happened to the real world. So it's really not straightforward. So I think if like I make this animation really seriously, like maybe design-wise and story-wise, it's too harsh or too duplex or disgusting. So like, and then like Priya doesn't want to see anymore. But sometimes like showing with sort of cute and sort of very abstract animation, I think really fit with this kind of serious storytelling.
Yeah, and I think another part, going back to the perspective of the cat, because the cat ends up being very close to the ground a lot of times, and so you get a lot of unorthodox camera angles where you're on the ground looking up. Like normally when you're viewing something, you're seeing it from the perspective of the human, but being the size and scale of a cat, you get this sense of this vast scale, but also a little bit weird or liminal or uncanny from a lot of the unorthodox camera angles from the ground that create a sort of novelty as well that I was struck by watching this. Yeah, just curious to hear around the unique camera angles that are often very close to the ground.
Yeah, actually when we decide that like a player's viewpoint is from the cats, and then like we tested a lot about where cats should be, and also a character should be bigger than usual camera, because like a cat, for example, ants or ant view or fish view, and then like human should look bigger. So like a cat view also bigger than like a human being's view. So like a model is like 3 times bigger than usual model. So we want to utilize this very unique cat view with feeling a different size of the human's observation. And then like, for example, the nurse Mikita approaching to the cat and try to touch it or hurt the cat. Of course, he cannot see the cats, but at that moment, like Mikita is really huge, and it's a dinosaur look like. So that kind of size differences make the player fun a lot, actually. So I want to utilize that, and also like even cats, a player can interact with a Naoki main character, and then like he's slightly smiling, and sometimes like a doctor interviewing a Naoki, and then like a cat can interrupt this interview, and then he's facing to the cats. So that kind of communication and interaction makes player more involved into the story, and also involving to the Naoki's story. Like the interaction is really slight, but I think it's really effective.
Yeah, and there's a lot of taboos around mental health, and I think a piece like this could help to bring awareness to some extent of some of these issues and try to give a composite picture of what's happening in Japan. And it gets to both the medical workers, but also the larger culture and how people are reacting. And so just curious to hear what you hope to come from a piece like this in virtual reality. If you see a cat, where do you want to take it in the future? And what do you hope that it might be able to do in terms of bringing about a larger change?
This is my experience, like since like I interview many doctors and reading many books. And like I knew that if I got mental sick, I just want to share my feeling that you should not 100% trust mental treatment, like current treatment, and then like mental treatment system itself, because like as I mentioned that like Japanese mental treatment system by the government, like suggests to use pills, and like not like more against like a human treatment, like spending more time talking. So maybe not 100% trust, and maybe try to find a very good doctor, or like try to find a fit with you, a fit with your symptoms or your feeling. And like that's like very simple, but maybe other symptoms is the same, like just like flu or cancer, everything, like they are trying to find a good doctor. But for the mental health issue, like very few information about this doctor is good or bad, more like in case of that patient itself mental is really down, so maybe no energy to find a very good doctor or something. So maybe family have to be cooperate to find a good doctor, bad doctor. But at that moment, okay, you're sick, so you should go to a doctor, but not simply go to the doctor, more like carefully find or choose a hospital. So just like one step, like you should stop thinking first and then choose the best way. It's a message. Like I'm not like a critic or hospital itself. I'm not like complaining about like government system, but there's a good doctor, but then bad doctor and then normal doctor. But like a mental health issue, like maybe like a please notice that like it's not that simple. You need to be careful, like how to treat these issues.
Great. So what's next for the If You See a Cat VR experience? Where do you take the project from here? Where would you like to see it go from here?
Actually, like maybe after this, like we already applied to the many festivals, and 1 year later, I will upload to the Steam, and then like I hope everyone see it.
Great. And finally, what do you think the ultimate potential of virtual reality and immersive storytelling might be, and what it might be able to enable? Where do you think it's all going here in the future?
Actually, there is some pessimistic thing and optimistic thing. Okay, first, pessimistic thing is that like still not many people having a VR environment. So showing our content is really difficult. And then even storytelling contents is like not huge market, because still VR and game is like very close imagination from the user. But our storytelling is 30 minutes, 40 minutes long, but player, like a game player, wants more longer experience, like 10 hours, 20 hours to finish. So maybe it's really difficult to make that kind of contents for us. So that aspect is still slightly pessimistic. But optimistic thing is that like maybe I just got here, so like I haven't experienced, but this time, like so many room scale contents, like walk around with a headset. This is very succeeded way of usage of the VR, and like a physical movement and like a virtual world moving, and then people easily get into a story or more like rich experience, and then like totally going to the different world with different avatars and with a physical movement. That's really, I think, strong. So maybe next project, I think I want to try that like, room scale contents, and then with storytelling, not game, but yeah, hopefully that makes VR market bigger, and also inviting more people and more less hurdle, like less gap than usual people's image of the VR to the more like, you know, easy to access. I think VR, name of VR is not good.
What do you think it should be?
More like, for example, Excurio made an immersive journey.
Immersive expeditions?
Immersive expedition. Yeah, something like XR, VR, no need to use. More like it's depending on the contents, like a journey or, you know, trip or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is there anything else that's left unsaid that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community? Any final thoughts you'd like to share to the broader immersive community?
But still also like creative side, like I talked to, I negotiated with 2D film director or creators or game industry people or even comic book writer. And then like many, many creators very interested in creating a VR. And I think still the community is very small. So and then like not so newcomer is coming in. Like this is a really difficult situation. So I want to contact like many, many creators who are interested in the VR contents. And then like I'm trying to be a VR director, explain about what is the advantage of the VR and what is the disadvantage, and then making very unique contents. So maybe more creators coming into the VR is one of the good thing, you know, like very famous 3D film director coming in the VR industry, and then like, oh, okay, he's making something. So maybe many people, like this director, bring many, many usual people, like VR unexperienced people coming in. So I want to fishing many, many good like famous director or creator is one of the option, I think.
Awesome. Well, Kenji, thanks so much for joining me here on the podcast to break down a little bit more around the production process of If You See a Cat. And you know, it's covering a very heavy issue of mental health issues and trying to weave together a number of different stories to show a composite of different situations and experiences that people have, and juxtaposed with a little bit more of a light and irreverent take with perspectives of the cat, but also the cute art style as well. But yeah, I think it's an important topic, and very much appreciate the use of virtual reality to try to have new ways of telling the story and to bring awareness to some of these issues. So yeah, thanks again for joining me here on the podcast to help break it all down.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning into this Venice Immersive 2025 coverage. And hopefully you found some use in some of this documentation of these experiences that are very ephemeral. And some of these show at these festivals and they don't really go out widely beyond this a lot of times. I mean, maybe they are, but you may not be in a place that it's easy for you to see them. And so it's a real privilege to be able to see all these experiences, but also to be able to sit down with these creators and have a really deep, in-depth conversation in a way that there are not a lot of other opportunities to really dig into at this level. And so I really appreciate all the time from all the creators to be able to have these conversations, but also for you to take the time to listen to them. And also it's been a challenge of trying to find a way of speaking about these experiences in an abstract, theoretical way, or at least in a way that I can ground it and allow you to put yourself into the experiences to kind of imagine some of these different things that they're doing, how I'm experiencing it, but also the different types of design decisions that the creator is making. So if you find this useful and want to support this type of effort of both documenting the history of immersive storytelling, but also to support this kind of wildly ambitious independent journalism project that is very much driven by support by listeners like yourself. So please do consider becoming a member of the Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.